What's up, everybody? It's another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Oh, shoot, Salty Saw. What's going on in PA? I just want to let you know, I'm putting a lid on it today.
Oh, Jesus. Joe Biden. Guys, the election is 2 weeks away. And things are, they're ramping up. We're going to talk about that. Also, Amy Coney Barrett was at the hearings this week. We're going to talk about the fiasco and a lot of what went down. And Joe Biden, new allegations of corruption and a lot of social media censorship that's been happening. So we're going to cover all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
The Salty Show.com. Sponsored by the Cummings Agency.
We got to get I guess we should get that in there, right? Let's not forget. All right, Heidi, let's go to you. Welcome back.
Hello.
What is going on in your world?
What do you got? So, you know, as if 2020 doesn't have enough going on with it, why don't we go ahead and unearth 26-year-old Egyptian mummies.
What?
Doesn't that sound like a good idea?
Oh, dig up their graves,
open up their
let's not do that now.
2600
Please don't.
2600 years. 2600-year-old. I mean, I just think we should see what's going to happen here in your 2020 by unearthing these bodies.
Jesus. Now, I know it'll happen. We'll have the Egyptian virus next year that we have to shut down the economy, keep our kids out of school, blah, 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 wear masks. But hey, the great part about that's going to be cats will be the cure.
Yes.
Because the Egyptians are big on cats.
Oh,
Leave it to a Sphinx. Cat.
I'm going
to
walk like an Egyptian. Walk like an Egyptian.
Leave it to a cat person to feel that way, right?
Yeah.
What? No, it's not my fault the Egyptians worshiped cats.
It'll be the perfect illness.
Oh, so, Jesus. Stop it.
It'll be the purge.
Okay, with that, I want to go ahead and just talk about one other thing. I was looking at this week numbers about the different taxes that Biden and Trump are kind of putting out there and who what their numbers are going to look like. So I want to just talk about a couple of them. There's a bunch of them, right? But there were a few that really stood out. Right now, Trump has a 37% tax rate for ordinary income. He decreased that back in 2017, right? So yay for us. We got a little extra money in our pocket when we were getting paid, specifically those W-2 employees out there. Well, Biden wants to raise that back up to 39.6%.
Oh, yeah.
So Trump is also, though, looking at that saying, wait a minute. Why we can do even better than that for our American people. And he is considering and trying to get in this next term for him down to 22% and for the lower income brackets as low as 15%. That would be awesome. I think about how much that could affect our economy and people spending. And I mean, isn't that the key part of the key to getting the economy going?
It's a bad thing because we can't do government programs. We can't do socialized medicine. We can't give welfare out to everybody that's willing to work.
Hold on, back it up. Trump is not going to hurt Medicare and Medicaid. Like, that's a big argument. And Social Security, those things aren't going to be hurt in Trump's plan. So wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand this. Trump can lower the income tax bracket, but still not harm the elderly, like people are saying. Come on. So, that was a big one. But then on the other side of that, the capital gains. So right now we're paying about 23.8%. He's looking at lowering that down to 15%. Biden, on the other hand, he's like, capital gains? No, screw you people. You were smart. You did what you needed to. You made a little extra money. We're going to tax that at 39.6%. What?
Wow.
Kiss my ass.
exactly.
Now, for those naysayers and those haters out there in the world, if you have children, Trump is probably not the best candidate for you because he's only giving you $2,000 a kid. where Biden is looking at giving you $3,000, but he's also going to make sure he taxes the hell out of you. So your $3,000 compared to the taxes, no, there's no equivalent there, right? But but I'm sure there are plenty of parents out there that aren't going to think about it in that perspective, and they're going to want
so
that.
So there's a reason. So real quick, and I know we're going to get going. There is a real reason why Trump calls it the manifesto. When you look at it, it is the socialistic agenda. Yep. And you look at what they want. I sent you guys the clip about the, you know, for the national firearms thing he built, you know, act that he wants to put in there where, you know, voluntary buybacks on all assault rifles, and then he wants to ban them. What's going to, you know, and I'm like, what's going to happen to the people that in Texas, Arizona, and all the, you know, the gun states that aren't going to turn them in? What are you going to start having cops go to their house, taking them voluntarily?
That's finding them.
They, you know what I'm saying?
That's what they're going to try to do.
That's know? What they're saying is that they're going to knock on your door and you better give them up.
So basically this is a problem. So this is the socialistic agenda to allow a police state, big government, you know, because when you disarm your citizens and you take all their rights away, this is how you get.
Yeah, I.
Australia. Yeah.
They're not going to use police. They're defunding the police, remember? So you're going to get the military knocking on your door.
Oh, you're going to get a social worker knocking on your door. Excuse me. Can I have your gun, please?
So the quote unquote, the federal government doesn't have police. Police are state, local entities,
Marshals,
right?
Marshals, FBI.
They have. Is it ATF? Federal marshals ATF. Would be ATF. Okay.
They can do whatever they want. When you got control of the government, you can say.
Right. But we're using, I guess we're just using police as interchangeable for any sort of authority figure with a gun.
Law enforcement. Let's use the word law enforcement.
Law enforcement.
Lore.
Right, let's get
lore. Lore enforcement.
We got to get the show on the road.
We're enforcing lore here.
We got a lot. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk. We do. All right, is that it, Heidi? Can we jump right into this?
Yeah, that was the big part of it.
All right, so
thank you,
Heidi.
The numbers.
Always. Oh, tax breaks are good for everybody all around, and less government. I love it. Awesome.
Right. Right.
All right. Yes. So ACB, Amy Coney Barrett, and you guys remember that happened this week. News cycle is so quickly. It's moving so quickly. So the hearings were this week, and there was some contrast to observe. And I'm going to cover a few of those. But before I get into that, I did want to say that I like that she brought her kids, like all seven of them, to the hearing. Actually, except one who has Down syndrome. But all her kids were lined up in the front. And I believe that was smart on her part because it forces the Democrats or it deterred them basically from bringing up vile shit. You know what they did to Kavanaugh. And for the most part, most of the senators behaved themselves in comparison to the Kavanaugh hearing, except one. Hirono from Hawaii asked the stupidest question. And I'm going to let you watch this. Oh, actually, no, I'm just going to let you know because I can't stand that woman. She asked if Amy Coney Barrett had ever sexually assaulted somebody.
I thought it was specific to children.
When I saw this, it made me so angry because this woman, what the fuck? Why would you ask that? You know what I mean? Like in a it is so despicable. The Democrats are so despicable, dude. And to me, it angered me when I saw it.
Yeah. So I'm watching this. I actually watched a lot of the hearings this week, but eventually I had to turn it off because I was like, all right, I'm just done with these guys. But okay. Well, how can you ask her that question? Number one, it was a disgusting question. Number one. Number two, they're acting like she's not even part of the U.S. justice system.
Right.
You know what I mean? She is a judge on the Seventh Circuit. It's the Seventh Circuit,
Court of Appeals. Yes. The Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals.
So she's already been through the vetting and everything. Vetting. If there was something wrong, I mean, you're basically reliving the 2017 confirmation here. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, Jesus.
Right.
I mean, obviously they made it all about the Health Care Act and DACA and all this. They're afraid. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But these questions between Hirono and Cory Booker.
Yeah.
Cory Booker might have been worse.
he's
like, do you condemn white supremacy? What the fuck? What the fuck?
Now
I'm like, come on, guys. I'm tired. You should have said you condemn pedophilia. Back.
Yeah, that's what I would say. We'll talk about how the news media ask these questions of Republicans, but they leave Biden alone. So the contrast that I wanted to talk about was the first one was, you know, when the hearing started, you saw the senators, you know, all with no masks, and the judge basically was forced to wear a mask. And I think it's symbolic, you know, where no one was near her, but yes, she was. I'm assuming somebody made a deal about her having to wear a mask. And to me, that it symbolizes what happened in this. It was a circus, and the Democrats were the clowns. She eventually did end up removing the mask, and I was like, everybody was like, yeah, she removed it. Awesome. But watching the Democrats throughout the hearings, you would have assumed, like Tim says, that, you know, she wants dead babies everywhere. You know, they brought out pictures of babies or people with diseases, and they were displaying them right behind them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically telling her that she would be the end of their health care. You know, these Democrats they have no shame. It has nothing to do with the court system. The court does not create policies. They don't create laws. This is on you guys. And if your laws are crappy and they don't abide by the Constitution, then that's on you. Now, if you want to amend the Constitution, Democrats, which is very difficult to do, then do it. But don't say that the judge is now the reason for a death of children. And, you know, because the number one thing is abortion, and abortion is healthcare in their mind. And because they're not going to get their healthcare, she's for death. It's insanity. Now, another one of the
I don't understand how that equated just now. Wait a minute. I thought she was pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that equate to death of babies? That's pro-choice is death of babies.
Let me tell you why. Because she opposes abortion, and Democrats consider that health care. And since she's against health care, then that means a lot of kids are going to go out without healthcare. Trust me, this is the Democrats are right. The way they connect the dots is like, you know what I mean? Like, it's convoluted. But this is how they paint this.
They never learned how to connect the dots. They didn't. Yeah. They never learned how to connect the dots. And so
they've been indoctrinated for years and decades. They've made it has grown, and they've come up with their own narrative. But now that narrative has been changed, is going to change, because everybody that tried bringing up abort any of these things, it always got squashed because they had RBG, right?
Yeah.
They had RBG and more of a liberal court, you know, liberal justices. Now that it's 5-4 conservatives or 6-3, maybe 5-4, because Chief Justice, you know, he goes back and forth. But now you have 6-3. They don't like that because now their world is going to come crumbling down in their eyes. I mean, when you go like this in the hearing, you know, there's so many kids, and they go, oh, little Johnny over here has stage 5 cancer. He's going to lose it. No, he's not going to lose his, health care. Stop
it. Right.
You know, isn't that what I mentioned when I was going through the tax stuff, is everybody keeps bitching and moaning and complaining and whining about that. But guess what? Trump's figuring out how you can pay less taxes and still give you the care you need. Yeah, he's already doing it.
But they're scary.
Yeah.
They're scaring the base because what they're saying is, what the whole point of this hearing is, that the American people deserve a vote in the justice that gets picked, right?
No.
Because people started voting. They feel that the election's on and Trump shouldn't be doing this. So they are using the two narratives to try to sway voters now. They turned it into a political ploy to try to get more voters to say, oh, Trump's a piece of shit.
This is what they always do. This is their modus operandi. This is how the Democrats work. All right. So what I wanted to get at is that there was another contrast, and it was the exchange between Dianne Feinstein and Amy Coney Barrett. Amy Coney Barrett initially presents her big family, you know, which is a majority of women, her brothers and sisters, and then her on top of that, her kids, because I think she's the youngest of 7 as well. And, you know, after that's over, Feinstein then goes on to ask about, you know, talk about women's rights to abort babies. And again, to go back to this point,
their babies or just random babies?
you know what I'm saying? Like, no, but their and
I don't like that one. Abort it.
Exactly.
That one looks kind of shifty. Abort that one.
Oh, no, stop it.
No, this is how ridiculous this is. I agree with you, Jeremy, because why would you be all about somebody being able to, you know what I mean? Like, hey, let's make it available for people to kill life, basically. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Now, to me, that's the difference between the left and conservatives. You know, it's family versus no family. And Amy Coney Barrett destroyed her with her knowledge of cases, dude, and legal terms. She danced around them, you know, with her legal pedagogy that clearly frustrated all of them. That old hag senator, fucking Dianne Feinstein. And, you know,
I remember hearing, not to divert here, but I remember hearing Dianne Feinstein's name back when I was in college 28 years ago. And this bitch is still in Congress?
Still there,
think
dude.
About them all. Still. Chuck Schumer, Feinstein, Pelosi, even on our side, Grassley, whatever, however you say his name. Like
Chuck Grassley. Even,
they all need to go. They all
term limits. Exactly.
Let's get back, you know, to the
I'm sorry.
And, you know, what's cool about it is that she was doing all of this without even referencing notes, dude. This woman had all that stuff. And you had Democrats would show up with all the paperwork on cases and stuff and asking questions. And she was like, well, actually, no, this was about this. Like, she was correcting them and they had the notes and they had the notes on the cases. Like, this woman was brilliant. And so to me, the Democrats were so unprepared, trying to paint her as a person who wants children to die of hunger or lack of health care. So fuck out of here, Democrats. And I'm sick of these people, dude. I really, I watched all the hearings just so that, you know, and they don't have anything, dude. They don't have anything. She's going to be confirmed. Now, the final contrast that I wanted to show you guys is the exchange between the two Amys, Amy Klobuchar and Amy Coney Barrett, which to me summarizes the hearings very well. So let me show you this first video here.
Pull it up on the screen.
Yeah, hold on. All right, let me play this.
You wrote in your 2013 Texas Law Review article that you tend to agree with the view that when a justice's best understanding of the Constitution conflicts with Supreme Court precedent or case law, it is, quote, more legitimate for her to follow her preferred view rather than apply the precedent. And I want to run through a few examples. So Brown v. Board of Education, as we know, that holds that the 14th Amendment prohibits states from segregating schools on the basis of race. So is that precedent
that, yes,
that can't be overruled?
Well, that is precedent. And as I think I said in that same article, it's super precedent. People consider it to be on that very small list of things that are so widely established and agreed upon by everyone. Mm-hmm. Calls for its overruling simply don't exist.
Okay. Well, you also separately acknowledged that in Planned Parenthood v. Casey, the Supreme Court's controlling opinion talked about the reliance interest on Roe v. Wade, which it treated in that case as super precedent. Is Roe a super precedent?
How would you define super precedent?
I might have thought someday I'd be sitting in that chair. I'm not. I'm up here, so I'm asking you.
Okay, well, people use super precedent differently.
Okay.
The way that it's used in the scholarship and the way that I was using it in the article that you're reading from was to define cases that are so well settled that no political actors and no people seriously push for their overruling. And I'm answering a lot of questions about Roe, which I think indicates that Roe doesn't fall in that category. And scholars across the spectrum say that doesn't mean that Roe should be overruled, but descriptively, it does mean that it's not a case that everyone has accepted and doesn't call for its
overruling.
Look at this.
Here's what's interesting to me. You said
that Brown is, and I know my time is running out, is a super precedent. That's something the Supreme Court has not even said, but you have said that. So if you say that, why won't you say that about Roe v. Wade, a case that the court's controlling opinion in that Planned Parenthood v. Casey case has described as a super precedent? Yeah. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Hold on, listen.
Well, Senator, I can just give you the same answer that I just did. I'm using a term in that article that is from the scholarly literature. It's actually one that was developed by scholars who are you know, certainly not conservative scholars who take a more progressive approach to the Constitution. And again, you know, as Richard Fallon from Harvard said, Roe is not a super precedent because calls for its overruling have never ceased, but that doesn't mean that Roe should be overruled. It just means that it doesn't fall on the small handful of cases like Marbury versus Madison and Brown versus the board that no one questions anymore.
Is United States for Virginia military, is that super precedent?
Senator Klobuchar, if you continue to ask questions about super precedents that aren't on the list of the super precedents that I discussed in the article that are well acknowledged in the constitutional law literature, every time you ask the question, I will have to say that I can't grade it.
Okay. Well, I am then left with looking at the tracks of your record and where it leads the American people. And I think it leads us to a place that's going to have severe repercussions for them. Thank you.
All right. So the reason I played this is to me, again, like you said, Jeremy, she wasn't listening. She just wanted to portray this in a certain way. And all right. But Amy Coney Barrett is an elephant, or Klobuchar is an ant that's challenging an elephant, right? That's how big she is in her field. So I want to explain this because I think my sister sent me this, and it's a analogy that is so brilliant and it's great. And I'm going to explain this analogy with a story, the elephant and the ant. So there was once an ant colony that had grown tired of an elephant that would stomp on their nest every time he would go eat. So the ants concocted a plan. The next time, oh Jesus, hold on. The next time that big fat elephant comes around, we're going to jump on him. We'll climb that tree. And when he passes by, we'll jump on him and bite him and sting him. And so the day came. The elephant was approaching. The ants quickly climbed the tree. And when the elephant was right below them, they all jumped on him and started biting and stinging him. The elephant felt the stings and immediately began to shake all the ants off. All of them fell down except one. The ant was clinging onto the wrinkles on the elephant's neck. In seeing this, the rest of the ants started yelling from below, "Choke him! Choke his ass! Kill him!" And that, boys and girls, is the Democratic Party today. You know, because they're concocting a plan to end Amy Coney Barrett, and it failed miserably.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So here's the deal. Let's not be dumb. They know she's very qualified. Even CNN, even those analysts, they were like, you know, if this was different times and a different president, she would at least have 70 to 80 votes out of the Senate. They go, exactly. Even CNN goes, she is well qualified for this job. Yep. It's just that it's their job to be anti-conservative judge, anti this, and make it all political. They all know it's wrong. That's what I don't understand. This is why I get so irritated. If everybody just reported correctly, right, and said, you know, yeah, she slants this way, that's okay, you know, from a political standpoint. But to say that she's evil and just this disinformation,
nobody buys.
You're creating the division in this country. I mean, there was a big women's march yesterday in Washington for this. Okay. And at the top of the hill, when the women that don't shave their armpits, when they all got to the top of the Supreme Court, they were met by the anti, you know, by the pro-lifers, right? Oh, a fight broke out. A girl that represents Turning Point USA got her ass beat. They beat this girl, put her in the hospital, neck brace, everything.
Wow.
Tolerant?
No.
Tolerant? They're not tolerant. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. No, sorry. They're not. Sorry. But you're saying these people are sick. They're sick. Yep, and I don't give it to me. It's not about abortion. I don't give a shit about abortion. You know what I mean? I definitely lean more towards pro-choice to a certain degree. But if it's you can abort a baby up to the day you're about to fucking have it. No, sorry. No good. I'm more 100% pro-life at that point. You know what I mean? Stop. Women are crazy.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere that they were saying within so many hours after the baby is born, they can treat it like a dog and euthanize it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, evil. But I had I had heard somebody say that, and I never sat down to research it, so I don't know, and I really need to, because I was always in that middle of the row. I believe from a like pro-choice, pro-life standpoint, there are certain circumstances where you need to abort a fetus. But this bullshit about up until the day that you can have it, or now the day you have it, you can stop its life. Like, I don't understand that. And the abortion process, that, oh my, I can't, how do you do that on a 40 week old term, life? It's a life at 40 weeks. Yeah.
It's evil.
It breathes, it eats, it cries, it does all of those things. I just don't understand. And I've had to have this conversation recently with the twins, because they've asked questions from hearing what's going on and seeing social media and hearing their friends discuss it. Like, what is the difference here? And what do you believe, mom? And why do you believe that? And how? And that, what a horrible thing to have a conversation about because of what's happening in our world. And because we do have this extreme left, and people go, well, then you don't believe in women's rights and their choice, their body. I didn't say that. If a woman's going to die, there's a reason. If again, there are medical reasons, I would never want a child to come into this world that is totally incapacitated.
It's a very touchy subject, but where I have the problem is when it's glorified and it's praised. When you see these, when I've had 7 abortions and I'm happy about it. And if I didn't have abortion, this music group wouldn't happen. Musical person said, if I didn't have my abortion, this group wouldn't have happened. Okay. There's other women in the entertainment field that have had babies that have been very successful. You know what I mean?
But I don't understand why. Sure, you don't have to keep the baby, but like, you can put it up for adoption.
Adopted.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's kill to adopt a child.
Exactly.
Well, I know men that would kill to adopt a child.
Look, this is a big issue for a lot of people. I'm a man. I don't give a shit. I mean, like, I can't have a kid, so it's not my body, my choice. But you know, if I wind up being with somebody, but if I'm with somebody and I get them pregnant and I'm like, well, let's have the, and they're like, no, and they have full choice over that, that's, I have a problem, because I'm like, have the baby and give it to me. You could claim I can have zero to do with that baby.
No,
I will take care of it from, you know what I mean? That. But
yeah. I agree with you, Tim. So wait a minute. And so holding the life of another human being inside of your body is woman, or is your body and your choice. But what ever happened about my body, my choice with vaccinations or masks or to walk into this building, you need to be sprayed with hand sanitizer, because that happened to me yesterday too. What the fuck? And then I walk in and you got 50 little kids with no masks on, their parents standing around masked up like they're going to die. And I had to be sprayed with hand sanitizer first.
The insanity that's happening right now in the country, we're going to talk about that, how the Democrats, like you said, there's hypocrisy everywhere, because some of the things that we're seeing, they make justifications for a certain thing, but make excuses for others. We're going to talk about that. But to really back into the hearings, and we'll end it here. There was a beautiful testimony of a blind woman that clerked for Judge Barrett, because, again, the contrast, you know, you had Democrats all week for 3 days, for hours, you know, attacking her as that she was against healthcare, that she doesn't care about people. This is what the picture that they're trying to paint. And because of this, they can't vote for her. Now, let me show you this beautiful testimony of a blind woman that clerked for Judge Barrett. And we'll close out this session on that.
And I am a former student and mentee of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. In part because of her unwavering support, I am the first blind woman to serve as a law clerk on the Supreme Court of the United States. It is now my immense privilege to appear before you in support of Judge Barrett's nomination to that same great institution. You have heard over the past few days about Judge Barrett's judicial qualities, which are beyond reproach. But should you confirm Amy Barrett, the country will receive something far greater than simply an unparalleled legal mind. It will gain the service of one of the kindest individuals I have ever known. Her brilliance is matched only by her compassion, and her integrity is unassailable. I am not speaking in mere abstractions here. Rather, I have experienced these characteristics firsthand with life-changing results. Because I am completely blind, I rely heavily on assistive technology to compete on a level playing field with my sighted peers. Before arriving at Notre Dame Law School in 2013, I worked hard to ensure that the university would purchase backup copies of the technology I use. But upon arrival, I discovered that bureaucratic glitches left me without access to that technology. And on cue, my personal laptop immediately began to fail. Overnight, I found myself struggling to keep up in class, falling increasingly behind with each passing hour. I needed help, and I needed it fast. I'd been Judge Barrett's student only for a few weeks, but her graciousness and warmth gave me hope that she could provide me with that assistance. Even so, I maintained relatively low expectations. Based on my past experience, I assumed that Judge Barrett would simply direct me to the proper bureaucratic channels, which could still take weeks, if not longer, to navigate. But Judge Barrett did something altogether different. She silently listened with deep attention as I explained my situation, giving me the freedom to let down my guard and come apart. As a disabled person, I am accustomed to acting as if I have everything under control, when in reality, the world feels like it is spinning out from under me. But in front of Judge Barrett, I was able to let the mask slip and indeed to disappear completely. I poured out all my concerns, not just about technology and my worries about failing classes, but all the burdens I currently carried as a disabled woman navigating a brand new environment. When I finished, Judge Barrett leaned forward and looked at me intently. "Laura," she said, with the same measured conviction that we have seen displayed throughout her entire nomination process, "this is no longer your problem, it's my problem." I can't capture adequately the relief that washed over me at her words. Her offer was rare enough in its own right, but even when such offers are extended, many unfortunately do not follow through. It's hard to trust an offer of assistance, no matter how desperately it is needed or earnestly it is given. Not so with Judge Barrett. Anyone who has interacted with her knows that she is a woman of her word. She means what she says, and she says what she means. When she promised to advocate for me, she commanded my trust. To this day, I do not know what Judge Barrett did to solve my problem, itself a testament to her humility. All I know is that the technology arrived promptly, which in turn allowed me to excel and to place me in a position that would eventually allow me to apply for a clerkship on the Supreme Court. This encounter was the first in which Judge Barrett demonstrated the depth of her generous spirit, but it was far from the last. She has remained a constant source of strength, encouragement, and solace as I have pursued professional and personal opportunities with no roadmap to guide me. Through her mentorship, she has given me a gift of immeasurable value, the ability to live an abundant life with the potential to break down barriers so that I can leave this world a better place than I found it. Though I am here today to share with you my story, the very best aspect of that story is that it is hardly unique. Those who have had the benefit of knowing Amy Coney Barrett understand that she possesses a boundless font of energy and a radical sense of love that she is ever ready to pour out upon those lucky enough to call her teacher, boss, family, and friend. Judge Barrett will serve this country with distinction, not only because of her intellectual prowess, but also because of her ability to treat everyone as an equal, deserving of complete respect. As a beneficiary of both of these qualities, I urge you to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court of the United States. Thank you.
Thank you all.
That was a beautiful testimony.
That was very well done.
Yeah. And so the Senate Judiciary Committee will be voting to approve the nomination on Thursday this week, so October 22nd. And then what they're going to do is they're going to set up a final confirmation vote on the Senate floor, which is the following week. So that way she's confirmed by October 26th, just right before the election. And so obviously the Republicans are, you know, they're rushing this, but, you know, they have the power to do it, and there's the precedent to do it as well. And they need to put her in there because she's more than qualified, more than a qualified judge to be there. Now, I want to move into the town hall that, because again, if you remember, Trump got COVID and Biden freaked out. And so then, you know, and then Steve Scully got caught. Oh, so what the news networks decided to do, instead of having a debate, they said, okay, well, let's do a town hall. And so, you know, where you know, the citizenry can come out and ask their candidates a question. So before I talk about that, I do want to mention that, again, Steve Scully, the guy who's going to be the moderator for this debate that was supposed to happen, he's been suspended from C-SPAN because, if you remember, he said that he was hacked. Remember how we told you guys that he, you know, he came out saying, because he was trying to communicate with an anti-Trumper. Now, this guy's, again, supposed to be, you know, middle of the world, or at least we're not supposed to know what, you know, what side he's on. You know, they're not supposed to be biased. But, you know, he was caught and he lied about it. And C-SPAN said, well, you are, you know, suspended indefinitely. And which is a good thing. Now.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So here's the other part to this that we keep forgetting. They kept saying that he reached out to the FBI about his hack. So if that's true, if he reached out to the FBI and lied that he was hacked.
Oh,
you go to jail for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a federal offense.
Hey, that's it. Which it needs to happen.
I don't understand how they get away with lying. They lie about nooses in the thing. They lie about, you know, shit to the, all they do is lie to the FBI and get away with it because we're going to get into the FBI later. And it's bullshit. Yeah, it's coming up.
But again, so just to cover a little bit of what happened, the second round of debates, technically, because it was Trump versus Savannah Guthrie. And
is she running for president too now?
Exactly.
And in my opinion, like the devil.
Everybody said Trump won that debate. And then if you would have compared it to Biden's town hall, it was boring, low energy. And even this is what I like to say, man. Even when the media sets it up to hurt Trump, they end up helping him. Because again, the Trump town hall was more lively, was more this. And then if you compared it to the Biden, it was so boring, dude. This guy loses his train of thought. He's just rambling. And I might show you a clip of he gets asked the question by a black gentleman who asks about, you know, his comments. What was the comment that he said, Tim? Was it
if
you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And so he challenges him on that. And Biden gives this long winded answer that technically doesn't answer it. And then the moderator, Stephanopoulos, asks the kid, he's like, did you get your answer? And he's like, I guess, you know, like he was not convinced at all. Like, I might show you this.
I would be like, no.
You know, the other thing I noticed about the two differences, and of course I'm a woman, so I'm going to add the woman touch.
Oh, go for it.
Trump's town hall was pretty. It was fun. Yeah. It was pretty. It was light. It was like just I mean, that's the best way. Yeah. To your point, Biden's was like, oh my God, you could put me in a padded room. It'll be the same damn thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it boring, yes, but it was ugly. It was depressing. I mean, it was just like the true picture of what we've seen. You know, people say, well, I was listening to a comedian who is not a Trumper. He's not. And he's, by listening to him, he's going to vote for dipshit Biden. And he makes the comment. He says, I love watching Trump. He makes me laugh. He's entertaining. He's fun. This last 3.5 years, let's be real, has been all of those things. It has been uplifting. And I get it. You haters out there that are saying it's for some other reason. But the reality is I don't want my world to be depressing. I don't want it to be sad. I don't want it to be miserable. And that's what we're in for. If Trump, for by some grace of who knows the devil himself, changes this upcoming election. But I want to see Trump in there. I want it to be pretty and fun.
So one of the things about that debate that everybody was kind of noticing the sound in the NBC one. You're a sound guy, Nelson. That yep. sound wasn't very good. There was a lot of that decibel noise that was very high.
Yep.
And one of the main things that people were saying was that they purposely did that to make people turn the channel to go to Biden because they were very upset. Yeah. No, because they were very upset about Trump being on NBC going against Biden.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I heard a bunch of the NBC employees were.
Oh, yeah. They were the celebrities. Everybody was crying about it. I can't believe they're doing it. So from that, one of the things was that they were saying, even a sound guy came out and goes, that sound level was not balanced correctly. They could have done certain things to resolve that problem.
Right. So I understand there's two sides to this, right? I understand that there's a group of people that don't want the world, America watching, or the world for that matter, don't want the world watching Trump, you know, present his side of the arguments. But then again, if NBC is NBC, right?
Yes.
If NBC is pushing people off of their channel, they're losing those viewers and they're losing money, right?
So exactly.
Which one is it? Are they?
I don't think they care.
If they really wanted them to not see Trump, they wouldn't put him on their channel.
So one of the interesting things about that is a lot of people did not know that Trump was on NBC because apparently a lot of guys didn't actually show Trump on NBC.
Well, Golden Girl reruns?
No, like people like in San Francisco, they were like, they showed their guys, like Scott Adams, like, this is my guide. It's like,
nothing. Wow.
There was nothing that said Trump town hall for NBC, CNBC, and you know, or any of that.
Another interesting part to this was that, you know, they're trying to drive people away to the Biden because it was who gets more views type of competition. But if you looked at Biden's event, it ran 30 minutes longer. And so a lot of people who stopped watching Trump's event then went to Biden's just to watch it. So, you know, they came out saying, oh, well, Biden had more viewers. Bullshit. Now, I do want to get into this, the moderator, Savannah Guthrie. And I use moderator very loosely here because, again, she basically was challenging Trump here.
E-devil.
Savannah asks Trump, guess what's the first question you would guess that she asks on?
Do you denounce white supremacy?
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. That's the very first question.
One more time. Can we loop this train around one more time, please? Now, just one more,
and just do it again.
Yeah, but Trump did such a good job answering it.
I'm gonna play a little bit of it because he, like Heidi says, he did a great job answering
white supremacy. In the moment, you didn't. You asked some follow up questions. Who specifically? A couple of days later, on a different show, you denounced white supremacy. No, my question to you is:
you've done this today, and everybody.
Why does it seem like
I denounced white supremacy? Okay,
you did 2 days later.
I've denounced white supremacy for years, but you always do it. You always start off with a question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt, and he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
Well, this is a little bit of a jar.
Exactly.
I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Do you feel, it feels sometimes you're hesitant to do so, like you wait a bit.
Here we go again. Every time, in fact, when people came, I'm sure they'll ask you the white supremacy question. I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
And frankly, you want to know something? I denounce Antifa, and I denounce these people on the left that are burning
beautiful.
Down our cities,
yes.
that are running
exactly.
by Democrats who don't
All right,
know what
while
they're
we're
doing.
Denouncing, let me ask you about QAnon. It is this.
Listen to this.
Democrats are a satanic pedophile ring, and that you are the savior of that. Now, can you just once and for all state that that is completely not true?
So
disavow QAnon in its entirety?
I know nothing about QAnon.
I just told you.
I know very little. You told me, but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact. I hate to say that.
Yeah, exactly.
I know nothing about it.
Exactly.
I do know they are very much against pedophilia. They fight it very hard. But
what's wrong against that?
They believe it is a satanic cult run by the deep state.
Study the subject. I'll tell you what I do know about. I know about Antifa, and I know about the radical left, and I know how violent they are and how vicious they are, and I know how they are burning down cities run by Democrats, not run by Republicans.
Republican Senator Ben Sasse said, quote, QAnon is...
You know, she doesn't even acknowledge Antifa. She doesn't. She's like completely is ignoring everything he's saying about Twitter.
Oh, she even gets aggressive and upset when he brings it up.
All right, let me. I'm gonna keep playing this because again, just so you people, you need to realize that Antifa is burning down cities, and this woman cannot even acknowledge it.
I am noticing the shitty audio too. Now that you pointed it out.
Oh yeah. Listen. Sounds just like watch.
Nuts. And real leaders call conspiracy theories. Why not just say it's crazy and not true?
You may be right. I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Let me ask you another thing.
Let's waste the whole show.
She's so frustrated.
You start off with white supremacy, I denounce it. You start off with something else, let's go. Keep asking me these questions.
Okay. I do have one more.
Let me just tell you.
I love the woman in the back shaking her head. Like, keep going.
Oh, we're going to get into her. We're going to get into her.
Let's talk about it.
I mean, I do agree with that, and I agree with
that. But there's not a satanic pedophile. You don't know that?
Okay, no, I don't know.
She wants to.
Neither do you know that.
Okay, just this week.
Why are you asking me about Antifa? Why are you asking me about the radical left?
Because you're volunteering.
Why are you asking Joe Biden questions about why doesn't he condemn Antifa? Why does he say it doesn't exist?
Because you're here.
Antifa, no, she's so cute. Antifa, they're vicious, they're violent, they kill people, and they're burning down our cities. And they happen to be radical left.
Just this week, you retweeted point blank to denounce white supremacy.
Hold on, let me stop this. Hold on, I got to start my camera here. Hold on. Give me one second.
I like how as soon as she's getting buckled and pickled into the whole Antifa, like he's bringing it up and hammering it. Now she's like, oh, wait a minute. Let's change the subject. Let's go ahead and talk about it.
Well, that's so how, you know, the whole point of this town hall is to have people ask questions, not her.
Right.
She asked 48 questions to the crowd's 10. Okay. You want to know why?
Because they don't want to know what the crowd wants to know.
No. Well, that, and they were expecting a hostile crowd. Every time they took a commercial, they were cheering him and applauding four more years.
Yep.
And she got so
pissed. I'm going to show you the video.
I would love to show you the video.
But again, like Tim says, man, dude, and we're saying this over and over again. This is, again, another great example of where the left thinks that they're going to hurt Trump. But in actuality, you know, by asking this QAnon question, people who have never heard of QAnon will then go out, do a little research and try to like, what is going on with this QAnon stuff? Let me find out. And guess what? They end up getting red pilled. And Savannah
down the rabbit hole.
And I promise you, we're going to talk about Ice Q right now, but hold on. Savannah treated, you know, this as if it was a debate, you know, because like a typical press conference, and she was not respectful. She was condescending and she was unprofessional. And this, again, like Tim said, this was supposed to be a town hall where the president can go in and talk directly to the people and get questions for them. Now, compare that to what Biden did or he wasn't asked. He wasn't challenged about anything. He wasn't asked about the Chinese money they have received. We're going to talk about that. You know, we might have to dedicate an entire show just to that. But they didn't ask Hunter Biden and his crack pipe incident or the meeting with fucking Ukraine and the energy company, Burisma. They didn't ask anything like that to Biden. They don't challenge him. Now, Heidi, going back to your point on the nodding woman, I'm going to show you a video here. That
So, two of the people that asked questions in that town hall were from Obama's administration.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. Biden's your average town hall meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even there was exactly.
So it stinks like dog shit. Okay.
Yes.
It stinks like dog shit. And they're protecting this fucking guy. And what's about to happen to him? I can't wait to see. I cannot wait to see him have a fucking heart attack on live fucking TV. During the debate
on election night. Oh, I was hoping for election night.
I can't wait to see it. I'm tired because everyone's protecting this fucking guy. He's a piece of shit. And everybody knows he's a piece of shit.
But yeah. The debates. What night is it this week?
Thursday. But Thursday, okay. Let's talk about the woman.
So the woman who was sitting behind Donald Trump, at Twitter just went crazy. Conservative Twitter sphere, they just went, you know, they're like, oh my God, we love this woman. And so she actually was sitting right behind Donald Trump, and she took this video. I'm going to show you this video that she recorded herself. So again, this is the woman who was sitting right behind Donald Trump, yeah, and she kept nodding her head, and she even like gave a thumbs up through the whole thing. And maybe let me play a little, because she gives a little thumbs up here. Watch. Because I've done a great
job. We had the strongest economy in the world. We closed it up. We are coming around.
So again, she stole the show. Now, she came out. Let me show you this video that she took while they were on commercial break. And this is a video
really quick,
that she
really, really, really quick. See the blonde behind him now? There's now three women behind him, and there's a blonde. Yeah. When the show started, there was a man sitting in that seat too. And then they replaced the man, and I didn't pay close attention to the man, but I noticed when they replaced him, and because she started, like, she pulls her mask down so it's not fully over her face anymore, and she starts almost like egging on and cheering on the woman in the red mask. Like, they end up together. Yes.
Yeah. I missed that. That's awesome. It was so great. I think it was related because during, again, the intermediate, when they went to commercial breaks, let me show you this video that woman, the black woman behind Donald Trump, and she, again, this is happening. It was happening in Miami, and there's a lot of Cubans out there. And so she speaks Spanish, and let me show you the video that she took. This is beautiful to watch. She's singing, "I'm gonna vote for Donald Trump." She gets a crowd.
See, but that's that shit. Why Savannah got pissed?
Yeah, she thought she would come in and run it.
Hold on, I'm gonna let her finish.
A background.
So she. Yeah, she says we're in commercial. So to me, I found this very hilarious, and it's beautiful to watch because, again, you know, she came out with a video saying that she thinks that she was sat there. And I think you were the one who sent us this, Tim, that she thinks that she was sat there in that spot because they believe that she was they assumed that she was going to be anti-Trump, and she wasn't a Trump supporter.
Nodding and shaking her head like, no.
Yeah, that backfired on them.
That backfired. Yeah.
But she did run for an office. You know, I don't think she won, but like, she had endorsements from Sammy Sosa, because there's another video of her saying after the debate, say, "President Trump, you know, we love you." She's like, "You got to go golfing in the Dominican Republic," because she's Dominican.
Oh, okay. She's Dominican. Yeah.
So she's like, "You got to go golfing at the Dominican Republic at this golf course. It's beautiful." She's like, "Sammy Sosa, he loves you." He's like, "Tell Sammy I said hello." She's like, "Oh, he's watching right now," like through her stream.
Oh, so, yeah. That's awesome.
So there is a lot. This is what they do not want you to see.
Yes. A lot of love for the president.
Yes. A lot of love. And it's not white people. Yes. So people are like, "Oh, he lost a white vote." Okay. But if he lost if he lost 10% of the white vote, but gained 40% of the Hispanic and black vote. Okay. That's actually a win. You know what I mean? I don't give a shit.
Why would he have lost the white vote?
Well, because the white educated voter is actually leaning more towards Biden from what
you mean the white brainwashed, indoctrinated.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I'm just saying the white college educated kid or person is showing leaning more towards Biden this time than it was in 2016, where they were leaning more towards Trump. That's all I'm saying. Yep. I'm not saying if it's right or wrong. I don't want to get into that discussion. I'm just. Data that I've seen from multiple sources.
Moving on here. So, again, the media has been trying to paint this guy as evil, et cetera, but he's getting a lot of love from a lot of minorities and everybody all over the country. Now, something interesting happening at CNN and some news medias where, they're like starting to acknowledge certain things and they're starting to challenge Democrats. And the first one I want to show you is, CNN had to acknowledge that Amy Coney Barrett was impressive in her confidence. I'm going to skip that one. But again, this is CNN reported this. They acknowledge this. And you're like, wait, what? Since when is CNN praising any conservative? And also, holding the Democrats' feet to the fire, Wolf Blitzer calls out Nancy for not making a deal with the president on COVID relief. And Let me show
it's
you
pronounced
this.
Wuhan.
Exactly. And let me show you this exchange. This is, again, and you see Nancy Pelosi get a little frustrated here. And again, something's happening. Is the media pivoting? I don't know, but something's happening, folks.
In the president's proposal. So when you say to me, why don't you accept theirs? Why don't they accept ours? Our legislation is there to do three things primarily: to honor our workers, honor our heroes, our healthcare workers, our police and fire first responders, our teachers, our transportation, sanitation, food workers, the people who make our lives work.
We couldn't Wolf be Blitzer's
doing
face.
What we're doing without them. Many of them have risked their lives so that they to save lives, and now they will lose their jobs because
but they
Mitch
really,
McConnell
they
says
really,
let the states go bankrupt.
Excuse me for
let
interrupting.
Let the states go bankrupt.
Madam Speaker, but they really need the money right now. And even members of your own...
I understand that, but
your,
if...
But even members
you
of your
me
own
a question,
caucus... Even members of your own caucus, Madam Speaker, want to accept this deal. $1.8 trillion, Congressman Ro Khanna, for example.
But
let me just quote Ro Khanna, a man you know well. I assume you admire him. He's a Democrat. And he just said this. He said, people in need can't wait until February. $1.8 trillion is significant and more than twice the Obama stimulus. Make a deal. Put the ball in McConnell court. So what do you say to Ro Khanna?
What I say to you is, I don't know why you're always an apologist, and many of your colleagues apologists for the Republican position.
Wow.
Right.
What we're going to do, and nobody's waiting till February. I want this very much.
It gets
now,
better. Watch.
Because people need help now. But it's no
use giving
them a false thing just because the president wants to put a check with his name on it in the mail, that we should not be doing all we can to help people pay the rent, put food on the table, to enhance benefits, that they don't lose their jobs if their state.
Why don't you just open the country and be done with it?
Exactly.
Consequences of a pandemic.
All right, watch this. It's glorious.
Of a problem that the president refuses to address.
But you know,
and that is, and that is the coronavirus.
We know,
that
we,
is
we
the
know
coronavirus.
The problem out there, but there are millions of Americans who have lost their jobs. They can't pay the rent. Their kids need the food.
That's right, and that's what we're trying to get done.
$1.8 trillion, and the president just tweeted, stimulus, go big or go home. He wants even more
right
now. So why not work out a deal with him? And don't let the perfect, as they say here in Washington, be the enemy of the good.
Well, I will not let the wrong be the enemy of the right.
What's wrong with...
She's fucking crazy.
She
now,
lost it. Dude,
she goes
she lost
on.
It. Trump broke her.
And she did. And so she goes on
she
because Wolf
it,
Blitzer
right.
keeps pressing her. And he even asks her, you know, hey, there are people who right now are hungry, you know, that need food on the table right now. And she's like, yeah, we feed those people. We feed them. That's what she answered, dude. Yeah. She's fucking crazy. This woman has lost it. Again, another reason for fucking term limits. Because in her mind,
so she also, well, but it also sounded like what she was basically saying is she doesn't want to okay it because she doesn't want Trump's name on a check to the people.
There you go.
That's what she's saying. She just said
exactly.
That.
Right. So that was the point.
So you're not going to help. You're not going to help the American people that you personally are fucking over.
Right.
Look, we've said this. We've been talking about this since it happened, even pre it happened, right? What was the first thing that we said? One, they will, if they shut down the country, that's a problem because you're going to cause a big steamroll effect, right? Okay, they did that. But then what do we say? Well, what's going to happen is Republican states are going to open first and Democrat states are going to stay closed because once you tank the economy, you hurt Trump, okay?
Right.
And that's what they did. But then the V started happening. And now when you look at the numbers, they just came out with new numbers. Republican states, 5.6 unemployment, total, you know, average.
Wow.
Democrat, 10.5. Okay. What? Why in Democrat cities you have 10.5 average unemployment? That's wrong. When you look, oh, we're keeping it locked down. We're keeping it locked down. We're keeping it locked down. New York is going through a second wave of lockdowns now. Cuomo is going to go block by block, shutting shit down again.
It's insanity.
So you're voting for this. If you keep voting for this, it's only going to get worse because come January 21st, executive order, shut down the entire country.
People, people of New York, people of California,
they deserve it. They deserve it.
You voted these people in.
and they are controlling, or they're trying to control every aspect of your life, and they are killing people, literally killing people. Yeah.
This is the blueprint.
Suicides are on, you know, they're skyrocketing. These people are, they're depressed. They want to work. They want the damn restaurants to open up so they can go back to work. They want everything to open back up so they can go back and live their life that they had a year ago. A great life, thanks to President Trump.
But Marie Antoinette, you know, let them eat cake. You know, that's you know, Nancy Pelosi, a.k.a. Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you guys now, because as we've mentioned before here, you know, there's a movement right now towards conservatism. Don't believe the polls out there. They're lying to you, folks. They lied to you in 2016. They're lying to you again. Now, I want to show you this. I don't know when this video actually happened, but I think he's a UFC or some type of MMA fighter. Gives a beautiful speech on behalf of the president.
Last week,
George Masvidal, and he gave a great analogy about this election from a sports lens, and I think it's worth watching. And to me, there's a longer version to this, but I'm going to show you this little piece here because he makes a great point about Trump and this election. And I think it's worth watching. Oh, wow. A suspended account, dude. Jesus. Let me see if I can find the longer version. Hold on.
Yeah. I mean, that was actually one of the most inspired, like from an inspirational standpoint for a voter. You can't beat that because it's the truth.
Yep.
If you're on a winning team, and even if you don't like the coach, but he's calling the right plays and you're winning, you don't fire the coach in the middle of the game and put in a new coach when you're winning. You know what I mean? If you're losing, you replace the coach. Like in the NFL, they've done.
I'm gonna play this because this is worth watching.
Is in Coconut Creek.
Let me forward it here.
Support for the president by reminding us how his father left Cuba.
My father escaped Cuba at the age of 14 on an inner tube.
In Coconut Creek, about 500 people packed the American Top Team MMA gym. In a county where masks are required, some followed the rules, others did not.
This is not the video. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. God damn it. No, this isn't it. Oh, this is it. All right, let me unpay this.
Rotting away in jail because he spoke up against government corruption.
All right, hold on. Let's play this.
I don't know who came up with the quote, but I promise you this. They were not from Cuba. They were not from Venezuela. You see, there's not no 25-year-olds over there. Everybody living in that system is either starving in the streets, waiting for food, rotting away in jail because they spoke up against government corruption, or trying to find a way to risk their life and get over here to this free country. Yes, sir. Let that sink in. So when they asked me to speak at this rally, I said, hell yeah. Right away. I gave him a quick heads up. I'm not a politician, obviously. I'm not going to wear a fancy three-piece suit to impress nobody. And I'm not going to use big fancy words to show you how smart I am. I'm not schooled in a lot of these political issues like some of you, but I do know Latinos. And I can tell you one thing. Latinos are not lazy. We sure as hell is not. Latinos are not looking out for a handout. Latinos don't want free stuff. We want freedom. Opportunity. We want to know that hard work, sacrifice, dedication is going to pay off. That we can feed our families and get our piece of the American dream. We want hard work, and the reason we welcome that hard work is because we owe it to our parents and grandparents that risked their lives to get over to this great American country. My father escaped Cuba at the age of 14 on an inner tube, 6 days at sea, that's right, I said a tire, praying every minute of it that he'd get to a free country where he could start a family and get back everything that socialism stole from him. Thank you. I started fighting professionally as soon as I could. But I got my first big break in the late, great Kimbo Slice. I got my big break there in the backyards. And 16 years later, and 48 professional fights, I'm headlining Madison Square Garden, New York City, with President Trump sitting cage side, fighting for the BMF belt. The American dream at its finest. I literally started from the streets. A couple years later, I was in the big leagues. In that 16-year period, I had a lot of setbacks, a lot of losses, a lot of bruises, bumps, cuts. Got choked out unconscious many times, punched in my face, and sat on my ass many more times. But guess what? Every single one of those times, I got back up and I kept fighting. I already told you why I got back up. Because I owed it to my mother, I owed it to my father. And that obligation, like me, is on millions of us that owe it to our parents and grandparents. They risked their lives to get here, to give everything we got, to take opportunities that we have here in this country that we don't back home. Thank you, Dad. He's a cool guy. I'm going to let you in on something. The Democrats just think that they're entitled to the Latino vote. They think that we just have to hand it over to them. That's right. We sure as hell don't. Así mismo. Así mismo. They got to show us what they can do for us, what they can do for our communities. We're not going to buy the same wolf tickets and false promises that destroyed great countries like Venezuela and Cuba. It's not going to happen. You know what else is not going to work for them? Playing Despacito on your cell phone. Hell no.
I like that.
Give them some credit for having
exactly.
Heads on their shoulders. I'm going to wrap this up with some words of Barack Obama. He said elections have consequences. That is true. And those words have never been more true than they are today. We either re-elect President Trump and keep America great. Amen. Or we let Joe Biden destroy the greatest country the world has ever seen. Now, I'm a professional athlete, and I've been one for most of my life, so I've always seen things through a sports lens. That makes Donald Trump our head coach. And before the global pandemic, we were winning Super Bowls. And when you're winning Super Bowls, you don't fire the coach. You don't. Doesn't matter if you don't like the plays he runs, the players he puts on the field, or what he says on Twitter. You sure as hell don't replace him for another coach that's been in the business for 47 years at every level and never won a fucking game.
Damn.
Yes.
That is glory. That sums it up. That's the line that I wanted to play. That's the line that I wanted to play because it's a genius, man. And to me, again, I love it. Now, this guy holds one of the greatest, fastest knockouts right now on record, I think, to this day. But I think this knockout right now that he gave Joe Biden is by far his best.
World record.
I love it.
Look.
Yeah.
The difference between 2020, 2016, 2012, 2008, all this is the fact that now in 2020, everybody's locked down on edge and social media is becoming the new norm. Okay. Yeah. Of getting information quick. You're getting thoughts. You're seeing interviews that you would never see on anywhere advertised. Nobody even mentioned that. You know what I'm saying? So you're getting to see this, right? And I know you're going to go into it. I'm going to touch on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Between you have this guy championing for the Hispanic community, the Latino community, about saying they're trying to pander and buy our votes. Then you got somebody else that almost red pilled a lot of people without trying to red pill people in Ice Cube. And that's it. I'm going to wait until you cover it because I know you know maybe it's not in the segment, but your people are opening their eyes because they're going, wait a minute, people are bringing things up and there's other Latinos or there's other black people, you know, there's people of color responding in two ways to these people. And when you see and you go, well, this is a good message. Why are people hating on it? And the shit people are saying, right? Yep. So when Ice Cube did it as well, he got some positive and then there was a lot of negative. So when we get into that segment,
we'll talk about it right now. So Ice Cube reveals that I'm going to read the tweet, but it's on the screen, and he says, facts. I put out the, what does the CWA, the BA stand for?
Contract with Black America.
Okay. So he puts out the CWBA, both parties contacted him. The Democrats said, we'll address this after the election. The Trump campaign made some adjustments to their plan after talking to him about it. So, and he puts this out there and he gets so much hate, like Tim said. And to me, I he's been posting a few more tweets, you know, talking about this. He came out with a video and said, hey, man, you know, if I'm just trying to better the Black community and one party wants to work with me and the other one is just brushing it off, you know, he's going to state the facts. And to me, it's just a matter of time before Ice Cube gets red-pilled, man, because I think it's coming. I think he's getting the backlash and he's realizing this because a lot of them live in a cocoon, you know, like they say what the world wants them to hear. And then as soon as they come out and say, hey, you know what, these are my convictions and I kind of want to work on this. And he's getting backlash because he's working with Trump, with the Trump administration. What is so wrong with that? And like, as Tim said, you know, if I go through these comments, people are, you know, saying, oh, you betrayed the Black community or you're a traitor to your race.
Samantha Marika is saying, take the red pill. Democrats never cared about Black America.
Exactly.
They just care about the vote. Like, you go, girl.
Yeah, she's very prominent. Yeah, she's got some good stuff. But there was an article, one of the interviews that somebody did based on Ice Cube's video, right? I forget the guy's name, and I think I said it to you guys in our group chat. Forget the guy's name, but this guy's he's very big in the Black community for, you know, pro Black business, Black owned, you know, very, very adamant. And he said something. He goes, you know, what this is proving is, and he's like, I've said this before, but it holds true now. He goes, you know who the biggest white supremacists are? You know, and he's sitting there and he's like, Black people.
You're talking about Malcolm X?
I was like, whoa.
Wait, because the guy,
I forget the guy's name, but anyway, okay. When he's talking about it, he's like, have you ever, and he's talking to, you know, he's talking to the Black folks and he's like, have you ever noticed, you know, the most negative people towards Black people growing are Black folks. This is not my words. This is from his interview. Right. And he goes, let me explain. He goes, when, you know, a Black person is working for corporate America, they get a promotion, that everyone's like, oh man, that's a great company. They're doing great. But when they turn around and say, well, I'm going to create my own business, they say, why are you going to do that? You know how many businesses fail? You don't know what you're doing. He's like, they're always trying to put you down. And I was like, he's like, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. I don't give a shit about Biden. I'm just talking facts. And I'm listening to this. I'm like, holy shit. And then the backlash he got from people.
You can't say
how
anything.
Can you say that? Oh, yeah. And I'm like, this guy is talking his truths. I can't speak for the Black community. I'm just saying I'm just reiterating what this gentleman said. And this guy's got a big following, very big. You know, he's not, I forget the guy's name, but it's just crazy where all of a sudden people getting pissed, like, you guys should not be saying this 18 days before the election. That's what people got pissed about. You are telling people 18 days before the election that you worked with this administration to help Black America. And that's
what ended up happening was that he had an interview set up. I think, what was the news organization he was going to go
CNN.
On? And CNN. And they canceled the meeting.
Primetime.
They canceled the meeting because they didn't like what he worked with the Trump campaign. It's like, whoa. And he did. Ice Cube tweeted about it. And he's like, folks, you know, so what's happening? And so a lot of conservatives start commenting on this thing. It's like, welcome to what we've been dealing with, you know, with trying to be censored.
He got rescheduled.
Oh, okay.
Right. So the whole time,
the backslash,
that interview, he's kind of talking and Chris Cuomo's trying to, and he's like, but you really trust Trump? He's trying to still spin it. And he's like, look,
yeah,
I don't care who it is. If they want to make a deal, once we make that deal, we got to hold their feet to the fire. He's like, he put the plan in place, but now he's got to come through. If he doesn't, then he's not a man of his word. But a lot of people are saying, like, the one thing Trump is, he says if he puts it down and talks about it, he's going to come through with it. but we got to wait to the election. Okay. Number one, then Don Lemon comes on, and you know how they always had Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon always have their little, you know, exchanges, you know, in between, you know, when they transfer from Chris Cuomo to Don Lemon show.
Yes.
Don Lemon was like going in on him, saying that a lot of these people are bots and everything. And dude, that pissed people off all over social media. Like, no, I'm not a bot. I'm voting for Trump. You ain't buying my vote, homie. So Don Lemon is trying to like, he's trying to bring people back, and
they've lost. There's a there's a Blexit going on right now, and
there's a big Blexit. It's a Blexit going on that people
Biden
don't see.
Right now is losing Democrats. I'm telling you, they do not want to acknowledge this, and you know, to the point where you know Biden has there's this drive-through rally. The cars. This is fucking. And there were more Trump supporters trolling them than there were actual Biden supporters. And then, dude, by the way, let me show you this video of Biden. And then you got to ask yourself, why is he so angry?
He's angry.
Let me show you this video, dude. This is strange.
I'm
to
angry. This guy's
strange to watch. Let me show you this. Hold on. All right, hold on. All right, here we go. He's reading.
Look, you have now.
What?
He's seeing
look.
Look.
What?
He's reading a teleprompter. That's why. It's a one-stop shop. Dude, this guy, he's fucking nuts. He's hopeless.
I like that fiery but peaceful mic.
Yeah. This is how you know Biden has lost it. He's lost his cool. The one thing about Biden, he's always been able to have that smooth. Right. He's a very smooth talker. Knows how he is getting angry. Trump and he's conservatives and the like.
They're getting.
He is rattled.
Man, he's watching it all disappear right in front of him.
Right now, the wheels are falling off the Biden orgy bus, and we're gonna get into the Biden mafia socialist media bullshit. Listen. So right now, after all this, because we're going to talk about what happened, to the point where the media goes on and social media goes to full censorship mode over a New York Post article or story about how the Bidens are corrupt. So Hunter Biden, this is apparently what happened. Hunter Biden takes his laptop to get fixed, and then he ends up stiffing the owner of the shop, and the owner decides to keep the laptop. So then the owner goes through the laptop months later and finds emails, and he finds pictures that expose Hunter Biden and implicate Joe Biden. And so the New York Post publishes the story about what was found in these laptops. And then Twitter and the media then come out and say, oh, Hunter Biden was hacked, folks, and we can't publish the story because you're laughing, but I'm telling you, this is what they said. We can't publish the story because he was hacked. What is is it true or not? Now, the emails reveal how Hunter Biden introduced a Ukrainian business owner of an energy company, Burisma, to Joe Biden. And at that time, Joe Biden was the vice president. So this happened during the Obama years. And at that time, Ukraine was investigating the company, and they paid to get Biden to pressure the Ukrainian government to remove the prosecutor. This is and it's clear as day.
Right.
And then to the point where even Biden bragged about it on TV, and he says, and son of a bitch, they removed him, you know? And so,
yeah,
that's what Biden bragged about doing. Remember, Biden claimed that he had no idea and never met with any Ukrainian oligarch. This is what he's been saying all along. But now people are putting the pieces together, and they're like saying, well, look at his schedule. He was during this time, he was supposed to be meeting with Ukrainians. That's the time the email shows. So the day the story broke, it was like wildfire. It went all over social media. It started spreading far and wide. And the tech companies, the tech giants, seen as this was getting, prominence, they decided to take the story out, and they called it a fake story. And so they began to close down accounts or disable accounts that were propagating this news. This happened this week, folks, to the point where they suspended Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary for is that the title she has? I forget.
Yeah, she's the press secretary for Donald Trump, but it was her personal account. It wasn't the actual official press sec, but
still. I mean, they're censoring. Now, the fact that they feel the need to censor, to me, is proof that, one, this is huge. It's going to be a huge blow for Biden, no pun intended. And two, they're losing, right? Because if they were winning, they wouldn't feel the need to censor folks. If Biden is up by 14 points, like they say, why censor? The Democrats are full of corruption. The Obamas, the Clintons, the Bidens. There's more evidence. Other shit. It's not just Ukraine. It's China. And they're censoring even news organizations like Project Veritas. The social media is in full swing right now trying to censor conservatives. Yeah, Tim.
So number one, the New York Post got locked out of its account, and it's still locked out, by the way. They still locked out the New York Post for breaking it until they delete the story, number one. Okay. Number two, the House Judiciary Committee or the House Judiciary, the GOP House Committee.
Yeah.
Judicial House Committee put that story out as well. You know, they locked them out too.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. They're locking out government agents. Yeah. Yes. So anybody that showed that story, even the picture of Hunter Biden with the meth pipe in his mouth, they suspended your account. They locked you out. We tried it and I got locked out like 10 times. Number one, the New York Post had it. And the problem with this is, listen to this. In 2019, December of 2019, okay, here's the timeline. December of 2019, FBI, and it's documented, FBI actually took the laptop. They had the laptop December 2019. January 20. Okay, so what happens in 19? The impeachment bullshit, okay? Start the impeachment. January 20, keep going through the impeachment. But then, you know what they say also in January 20, that people are, you know, so they can cover their tracks? Russians hacked Burisma. So now they put out now they're putting the bug in everybody's ear. Anything that comes out, Russian disinformation, because it's election meddling. Okay. Meddling. Now laptop comes out. Rudy Giuliani breaks this. Oh, interesting story. The White House was made. They were told that Giuliani's been compromised by the Russians, and any information he gives.
Wow.
This is a couple weeks before this shit broke.
Conspiracy theories.
So now it's going. Now this is where the plot thickens. One of Hunter Biden's business associates or business partners that got arrested a while ago. I think his name is Cooney. Okay. This guy reaches out to Breitbart after this shit broke. And he's like, you know what? Signed an affidavit, everything. He gave Breitbart the username and password to his email account. So now Breitbart has all the other emails that aren't associated with the Hunter Biden laptop. So they have this side and they're saying, dude, this is big.
Wow.
They go, this goes after John Kerry. Like John Kerry's involved in this now. Like
there's corruption. I did want to talk about this a bit because we'll dive into it a little bit more, but to the point of the social media censorship. So, you know, as this is happening, cause it's when this broke really quick, it was, freaking try to contain this mess because like I said, it started spreading. And so the social media giants, again, we've talked about this, how they're acting and now as publishers and not as platforms. And, and so people are making this argument. They need to lose all the protections afforded to platforms. They need to be held liable for all the misinformation they post now, because if they're saying, hey, we're going to moderate this, right? They never censored the stories based on hearsay for Trump. And here we have actual evidence that they are censoring. The Democrats are playing directly from the Socialist Handbook, directly from Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, right? Which is to blame the opposition of the very thing that you are doing. This is, again, from that handbook. And this is, at best, an in-kind donation to Joe Biden. And at worst, it's election interference. It is, folks. And the RNC filed an FEC complaint against Twitter Claims that the company made illegal, again, in-kind contributions, and they're going to subpoena them to come in to testify to the Senate and say, what are you guys doing? Why are you guys helping the Biden campaign during an election? And now people are saying, this is the crazy thing. People are saying, because they're realizing they're seeing this wave, this red wave coming, and they're saying, fuck, Hunter Biden will lose this election for Joe Biden.
Shit, Hunter Biden might actually, Hunter Biden might be the reason of the takedown of
the swamp.
The swamp.
Yeah, well, I hear a lot of stories about these things that Hunter Biden has been doing, right? Apparently they've got pictures of him with a meth pipe and he's making all these shady business deals. And I get that that's not a good thing, but unless they can actually tie it to Joe Biden,
they have the emails.
They have, right. They do. Well, and then
they have schedule. The emails, so, that are saying the emails, yeah,
tie it to him.
Right. Yeah. So okay. Let me get back to the point that I was trying to make, because again, you know, they're saying Hunter Biden might lose this election and it might bring down the whole deep state with him. But in my opinion, I think that's the wrong way to look at this, because Biden is the mastermind here, folks. You know, Hunter Biden is a cracked out idiot, right? You know, and in my opinion, Joe got careless. The Democratic Party got careless. They thought they were going to be in power forever. You got to remember, during this whole time, during the Biden administration, the news stories that were coming out at that time about the GOP, they were talking about the Republican Party is done. They need to change. And they lost the election, folks. Arrogance will be their downfall. Hubris will be their downfall. Now, the guy who disclosed this, I think his name's John Paul, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, he didn't sell this information to the media. He didn't. And it's not an anonymous source like a lot of these fucking fake stories about Trump come out, right? This guy, we know who he is. And he didn't do it for personal gain. And yet right now, the media is vilifying this man. The news organizations, that's what they're doing. Not Hunter Biden with a crack pipe in his mouth. Not Joe Biden, the computer guy. This is who the media is going after. But in my opinion, that guy is a hero. He exposed these corrupt sons of bitches, yeah, dude. And the news media and social media, again, are actively suppressing the story. It is no longer a question of, you know, they're just ignoring it. No, they're trying to kill the story, folks. They're saying that, motherfucker, they're saying that it is a Russian disinformation campaign. This, in my opinion, this is insanity, homie.
And you know what the other big problem with a lot of people are having, you know, in you know, on the GOP side, is when this guy reached out to multiple the computer guy. Reached out to multiple agencies, yeah, about this, saying, I have this laptop and I'm scared for my life because of the contents on it. So the guy made 4 backups.
Yeah, yeah. I'd make 10.
So he made 4 because he's
exactly,
like,
put on
once
the cloud.
They gave him the laptop, because apparently the FBI agent said, just if you shut your mouth, you'll live, basically.
Wow.
So he made 2 and he gave them the 2 different family members, so that if he did get killed, get this to whoever, because they, wow, he wants to make sure that this, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, so he insurance.
Made, so he made 4 backups.
He can get suicided. Okay.
It's too late exactly. He's protected. The FBI had it in December when the impeachment hearings, right, were going on. They were should have been inclined to say, we have this laptop that might, this might exonerate Trump from even this impeachment hearing. So now they're just going, Ray again didn't do his job. They're like,
yes.
They want to know why Christopher Ray has not, like, why is this the first time we're hearing about this laptop?
Yeah.
Publicly.
He needs to go. Now, yeah, you know, again, the media's, I'm sorry, what?
Flip your camera. It's from an angle.
I know. No, this is the other camera. Unfortunately, I'm going to leave this one off until it freaking, because it's overheating apparently. So, gotcha. Hunter Biden, right? They're saying that this was a Russian disinformation campaign. This is what the news media is saying. Now, Hunter Biden's attorney then sends an email to the computer shop requesting for the laptop to be returned. If this is a disinformation campaign, folks,
Why
do they care?
Why do they care? So to me, it's clear that this is not a fake story. How can a computer repair shop guy be more competent and smarter than our own intelligence agencies, folks? They're either inept or deeply corrupt. You know, there's no other thing. They're either completely inept or deeply corrupt, folks.
The computer shop guy has nothing to gain or lose, right?
Except for his life.
I mean, okay. But at the same time, it takes those heroes. It takes those heroes.
Oh, I hear you. Well, I mean, I got something that can might actually twist everybody's head.
Yeah.
You know, our favorite military insider Q. That's what they call him on Twitter now, because they're censoring they're censoring Q and everything, so they say our military insider.
That's awesome. I love it.
So somebody made the connection of one of the Q posts of it was like Hunter Biden wearing a watch, and then like they showed a watch and a pen, and they were like, oh, son of a bitch, they go, this is his watch. They made a connection. They were like, they knew this was coming. So they're saying Hunter might have flipped, because one of his text messages that came out that basically said to his sister or to his sister or daughter or something like that, I've been supporting this family for 30 years, paying all this money to Pop, you know, and I'm just done with it. So basically they're saying Hunter might have flipped to protect his ass, because on this laptop is apparently child porn. That's why the New York Post hasn't released a lot of shit, because there's child pornography on here. So this goes even higher.
So you think he's working with the intelligence agencies so that he doesn't cutting possible. A deal, basically. Yeah.
Hey, it's possible, man. But there's a lot of shit going on with this.
In my opinion, everything that's happening, again, they're going to get subpoenaed, the social media, everybody who's trying to suppress the story. And to me, the social media companies have sown the wind and are about to reap the whirlwind, because they're going to challenge Section 230 in the courts. It's going to go to the Supreme Court, folks, and where they're going to say, hey, folks, social media, this is the new, town square. You cannot censor people who you disagree with, right? And if you are, then you better moderate every single content that you guys publish, or you're going to be held liable for what's on there. And believe me, everybody's going to line up for lawsuits against these social media companies because of a lot of things that people have published, because they're not publishers, they're platforms, they're not held legally accountable for that shit. But now, if they lose that protection, they're fucking done. And again, they're going to reap the whirlwind. Now,
me too.
Yeah. Now,
they're not ready for what's about to come. I personally feel this is why now, since the summer, why Q has been the focal point for mainstream media, paper media, for all media. There's nothing about, there's everything about Q now. Why is Q so powerful? Q's been around since 2017. Nobody talked about Q.
I never heard of him until.
But is it because for this moment that's about to happen, that if they're saying Q is about child, about pedophilia, about deep state cabals, and now you've got this laptop that basically has child porn that apparently ties a lot of people.
We don't know. I wouldn't go down
that. No, New York Post confirmed that there's child pornography on here. On the hard drive. I mean, this is from the Post, and they go, we are not releasing it because of that. And if it's got ties to this deep state cabal, you're basically proving the entire Q point. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying Q is right, but
I got a question.
Yeah.
So did I miss the announcement then? Because there was a note that October 17th was supposed to have the John F. Kennedy Jr. was supposed to come out. There's still some.
No, the mainstream media talked about that. They go, see, JFK is not alive. You see,
they're coming back. Get over it.
Stop it. I'm trying to. I don't know the law exactly on this, but if Joe Computer Guy has Hunter Biden's laptop, and it does contain child pornography, isn't that a federal crime? He has to notify the FBI.
That's why he freaked out, because the shit he saw, he's like,
so he knows, he sees the it's not just the emails that he sees. He sees
the picture
porn and goes, oh shit, I need to contact the federal authorities on this.
This is big, dude.
I'm confused.
That's why they're pissed off at the FBI. They go, you've had this and you didn't do shit? What are you protecting?
And then even Barr, man, like what's the holdup? I don't know. Look, there's you have to tread lightly with a lot of these things, because what ends up happening is that the media will come out and say that's election interference, you know, doing this. The Democrats do it all day. But the second that, you know, oh, well, no, this you can't publish this. It's going to hurt Biden and we can't have that. Now, I do want to cover a few things, a few leftist things that are happening, and I'm going to package it together on a point that I want to make, because the first thing that I want to talk about is more doctors right now are coming out against COVID hysteria. And I'm not going to show you the video,
it's pronounced,
but there was a panel of doctors who came out saying, hey guys, this is just a seasonal flu. If we look at the numbers and look at the relation, this is very, you know, it's the same pattern. And
to argue that point, right? This year, we have done a lot different than we've done in past years, right? Yep. We closed down the world basically. So
yes,
those numbers are completely skewed,
right?
You know, in both directions, right? They're skewed out of normal because we don't let our kids go to school. We don't let people go to football games. We don't let people go shopping, right? We shut all that down. So that is going to drop those numbers down like a rocket.
Right.
And then on the other side, you've got these corrupt cities who are looking to get funding for falsifying death reports to bring that number back up, right? So I know moving forward that I'm going to have mentally, you know, personally, I'm going to have a really hard time trusting any of the numbers, right? And especially when you're comparing them to other years, because it's just like you can't, it's like comparing apples to oranges, right? You can't do that.
Go ahead. You're right. No, and so again, just to cover these points that are happening, and how all this is related. Because again, doctors come out saying, "Hey, they're against COVID hysteria," and they're saying that the lockdowns and the masks don't work, and this is something else is happening here. Now, also this week, a black man was attacked by Antifa. And by this idea, because again, this was another thing that Biden wasn't asked about or wasn't pressed on. Okay, that's point number two. Now here's another thing that happened this week. Cuomo continues to persecute the Jewish community. We showed you guys videos last week, and now they're even at the point, Jeremy, where they're knocking on doors, taking pictures within the windows, trying to see if there's Jewish people worshiping in their temples. Now, where did we see this before? And just to make this point, let me show you this, because this is worth watching. This is scary, dude. And so this guy is driving by and he's recording whoever this is. It's either a police officer or somebody sent by Cuomo. And look at what they're doing at a Jewish temple. Taking pictures to see inside. I'm sorry. Let me rewind it and hold on. Again, this guy's driving by.
So this is a temple or
this is in New York. It's a temple.
Synagogue. Temple. Synagogue. Okay. Synagogue. I think it's
synagogue. There you go. Not a temple. Synagogue.
So the guy's taking pictures to see if there's anybody inside, and he goes and he's trying to knock to enforce the lockdowns. Now, where did we see this in history, folks? Where the people are going
in Germany
looking for Jews, right? Let's not make excuses for this bullshit, because here's another video. Again, what's going on in New York, sanctioned by Cuomo, where people now feel justified enforcing these mandates. Look at this, dude. And I tweeted, I'm so angry about this. Look at this video here. Hold on. Can you guys, let me show this to you. It's a Jewish guy walking down the street on his phone, and you'll see what this motherfucker says to him.
Oh my God. Oh, he put it on. He hung up his phone and put it on.
Yeah. And
would have told them to go take
The people feel justified enforcing these stupid mandates. They, like Jeremy just said, they manipulated COVID numbers. In my opinion, there's something malicious here that's happening. where they're targeting the Jewish community. And again, I've said this over and over again. We need to be heightened alert on this shit. Because again, the Jews are the canary in the coal mine. For whatever fucking reason, when leftists take over, they're the first people who are targeted. And we need to eradicate this fucking leftist politicians from office who make excuses for this shit. The left has gone insane. So insane that they are now... Dude, let me... I'm going to leave this point for later because, dude, I'm so angry right now at Democrats for what they're doing. But leftists right now, they've taken over social media. They're censoring dissent. If your ideas are not popular... Or, you know, or they don't approve of them, they're going to shut you down. Because to the left, it's about control, folks. They want to control your thoughts. This is Orwellian. They're censoring scientists, like I just mentioned, who they don't agree with, and COVID lockdowns, and masks. So then what happens is that they do this shit so that when Trump comes out, like he did in his town hall, and he said, well, hold on. Because not all doctors agree with you or are unanimous with lockdowns and masks. And then the reporter can say, well, where are they? What do you mean? That's not true. Where are they? They've been censored by fucking social media. They're censoring these stories that are critical of Biden. So that when Trump says, well, Biden is corrupt, they can say, show us. There's no stories about it. Oh, you mean this debunked story? This is how they work. They justify their actions and feel proud of themselves for rescuing America from propaganda. That's how they see themselves. They you know, you need to obey them because Twitter knows what's best for you. Facebook knows what's best for you. They're right now removing fake news from their platforms. Oh, really? How about I decide socialist media? How about I decide what I want to believe or not? And we're going to take your guns away for your safety. Yeah, or you're wearing this mask, you know, this oppressive mask that we told you you'd only have to wear for 2 weeks, you know, because, you know, we don't want you to die. You know, now it's 8 months later. You know, we're not showing you this post from this news organization because we don't agree with it. And it's not true. We want to eliminate the police because, well, they're obviously racist and we're going to replace them with better police. Or we want to stop Antifa violence. Or I'm sorry, we won't stop Antifa violence because it's just not an idea. I'm sorry, it's just an idea and it doesn't exist. This is what they're saying, folks. And right now, even the protesters who they, you know, don't call out on not wearing masks. You know what I'm saying? So they're making excuses for all those things. They're rounding up Jews because they just don't listen or, you know, it's for their own good. But, you know, they're such stubborn bunch. This is what we're making excuses for, but we should be alert and we should say, no, we're being lied to. We're being manipulated and we need to stand up. We need to not put up with this bullshit because it's dangerous. And if we don't speak out against this, we think we're immune. Folks, we're not immune to the mistakes of history. We're not made of something special. This can very well happen in our time. You think the Holocaust can't happen today? It can and it will if we don't stand up against this.
They're already starting to train our children to adapt to that, crying out loud. Look at the kids in school and what they're going through. Think that's not part of this mental mind fuck of making them accept what is the future of the Holocaust? I mean, come on, give me a break.
Explain. Yeah. Do me a favor, Heidi. Tell that quick story about just the bullet points of what the twins were telling us the other night about their friends in school. Because Heidi pulled her kids out, but her friend, the kids' friends still go to school. Tell them some of the horror stories about the shaming and the tokens and all the bullshit.
What?
Yeah. So we really should have Laura be the better explainer of this. But she said that some of her friends were saying if they have tokens and they have to use those tokens for the restroom. So if they have to go to the bathroom, they need to have a token. What? And if they used their tokens. Now, I want to just throw this out there as well. Moms and dads out there with little girls around this 10, 11, 12 year old age. What is starting to happen with them? I know TMI men, their periods are starting. Okay. Oh. Guess what? going to the bathroom once or twice a day does not help a little girl who just got her period started. No. And if they don't have tokens to go to the bathroom, they don't get to go to the bathroom. Hold it. No. Sorry.
Get up and leave.
If they're thirsty and they need a drink of water, well, wait a minute. How many times did you squeeze the straw or the whatever cup to get your water behind your mask today? Oh, nope. Tokens. You don't get to do that anymore. You've already used your water time.
Wow.
At lunch. So they're putting little groups of two or three kids. Within those two or three kids, you travel. So you are at your desk and then you travel to the lunch, and that's your only network. That's your only circle. If you move out of that circle, now you've just broken the rules and they are shaming you. Mm-hmm. Friends, kids, the kids' friends are like, if you don't wear you're going to kill us if you're not wearing your mask. God. Wait, you just took your mask down for a second? You're going to kill us. You're killing us.
Yes.
This is what these kids are going through.
Dude, and you know what?
They get this. Are you kidding me? There's nothing about this. It's okay.
They get this from their parents, right? Because there's a big portion of the population that believes. There's people out there, guys, that believe this bullshit, right? Because, you know, they believe that, you know, we need to enforce these masks everywhere, you know, based on a virus that has a 99% survival rate.
And some of these parents aren't letting their kids trick or treat because they might touch candy another kid touched. Hold on. You're sending your kids to a school where they're touching the door handles, where they're touching the desk, where they're touching the table. Well, but it's being sanitized. Oh, please. Bullshit. Right. I don't care how much you try to sanitize something. You're not stopping the contact that they're coming into and coming in with from anybody else. The one little girl said that she picked up her friend's water bottle and was drinking out of it. It was like crucifixion, man.
That's total attempted murder right there. We need to throw that little girl in jail.
Hey, you're making that joke, but guess what? It is. It's being considered that now. You aren't wearing your mask and you just coughed in the grocery store near the fruit and vegetable section. You can be brought up on charges now of attempted murder because of your COVID situation. What? Give me a kiss my ass. You know what? Suck the dick that I don't carry on my body. How's that?
People, we're about to create a dystopian society. Because people, you know, and I think Dennis Prager makes this point all the time. People don't yearn for freedom, right? People yearn to be taken care of. And they're willing to give corrupt politicians power to rule their lives because COVID's going to get me. Please, somebody lock everybody down. These people who are contaminating I promise you, I see these posts on social media by people who really believe this shit. And again, this was supposed to only last for 2 weeks. And here we are. 8-9 months later, and what the fuck, folks? What's going on? And again, but people say, "Yeah, no, we need this." No, fuck you. No, we don't.
I heard an interesting take on the whole requiring mask things, and basically, it's a visual reminder that basically there's danger out there, and the government is protecting you, right? And that's why they push so hard to have people. Because if you stop wearing the mask and you go to the grocery store and you look around, you're like, oh, well, nobody else is wearing a mask. I guess I can take my mask off, right? And they lose the traction that they have. But if they keep telling you, you got to wear that mask, you got to put that mask on, make sure you're wearing your mask. If you go out, there's that visual reminder every time that you do interact with somebody that says, oh, yeah, I forgot. We're in trouble. We're going to die unless the government comes in, takes care of it. It's a visual reminder that, oh yeah, I need to maintain the status quo of the government take care of me.
Scott Atlas is on the government, is one of Trump's, he's on the COVID task force and all that. He spoke out against masks the other day on Twitter or whatever. They locked his account.
Yeah.
It's insanity, dude.
Account lock.
This is crazy. Because you know why? Because again, like I said, that way they can come out and say, who was opposed to it? You're the only one. You know, it's very dystopian. They try to control your mind because they're trying to social engineer you to not see opposition. This is leftism. This is communism. This is socialism. Yeah. And this is Marxism. Everything that we've heard about is happening.
I love the way Trump addressed it in the town hall.
Do you remember when Trump's talking then and Savannah's trying to get him to talk about the mask, and he's like spitting out, and now it's being blocked all over social media. I was trying to find the numbers. It's like people who are wearing masks, you have like a 70 or 80% more likely chance. I think it was like 87% maybe or something.
Yes.
More chance. You have that a higher percentage, 80 something percent higher chance of getting COVID than if you're not wearing the mask. And Trump's like, let me think about this for a second. I watched the gentleman come in to bring me food one day or whatever, or serve me food. And I watched him touch his face, and he touched his, and he says he touched his face and his mask and his everything else more than I've ever seen somebody touch their face and mask and everything. And he says, and I had to I actually did not eat my food because I could not believe the increased amount of times the poor man. And he's like empathetic towards the man wearing the mask, but he's just like, I had more of a chance in that moment of getting sick with whatever that man had going on with him, because after he did all that, he turned around, he picked up his plate and he handed Trump his plate. And the president's like, he's touching all of my stuff.
Yeah.
After I just watched him sexually molest his face, you know, he didn't see it that way. But I could just imagine the thoughts that go through.
He's a germaphobe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he admits that he's a germaphobe.
It does anyway. That does not surprise me, and he's still 16 days out, guys. I'm not taking days. People's rights away from them. Yeah. Making this.
We got to close this. We've gone 2 hours now, so let's close this out. And again, like we do every single episode, we ended on a fine
happy note. Happy note.
All right. So the first, unless dancing, Tim, did you want to cover anything else, Tim, before we close this out? I think, like I said, we've gone a little bit.
No, just okay. 16 days out. Yep. Go vote.
Early vote.
Watch out for emails.
At least 75% of the people on the Salty Show have already voted. Go out and early vote, people.
Go.
Do it now.
All right. So this first one I want to show you guys is, let me see, which one should I? Okay, so this one. Dubai versus Abu Dhabi. Let's play this one first.
Okay. All right. Whew. I gotta catch my breath for a second. Okay. What is the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi? The people in Dubai don't like the Flintstones, but the people in Abu Dhabi do.
Abu Dhabi do. All right. Okay. So
his reaction is the best.
He starts laughing.
Is he talking to his daughter or something? Yeah. Is that,
Somebody's doing a duet.
Somebody's watching it. They're called duets. Jeremy.
This is
okay.
TikTok.
Sorry, TikTok illiterate over here.
Yes.
All right. So this next one. This is a funny costume. Funny MAGA costume. I like it.
Fingers, I got records on my fingers and I just can't.
Pence. Okay.
That's great. Doesn't that guy look like Bradley Cooper? Some people are saying that.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
So, this is actually a funny one. I used to do this when I was a kid, guys. My sisters tell me stories of when I used to sleepwalk.
Lexi? Hey, stop staring at me like that. Alexis!
Is that like a roommate or something?
It's her sister.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Mom!
Hit her.
She's freaking out. Mom!
Looks a little bit like Heidi.
Meatloaf! Mom, meatloaf!
Pineapple! Mom! Pineapple! No.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Oh my God, look at her.
How long did she just sit there? For 3 minutes.
It's
3 a.m.
Yeah, it's 3 a.m. It stood there for 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Screw
like this.
These people are crazy.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
She's like crying. She's freaked out.
She's like, she's hyperventilating.
She's yelling for her mom. She's like,
so I used to do this. My sister would be like, "You slept walk last night." I'm like, "What? I did. What was I doing?" It's like, "You kept looking for your ball. Like you were looking for, because we used to play, you know, with my sister, I used to play basketball." And she's like, "You kept looking for the bat." And it was like in the middle of the night. I'm like, "Really? What? That's so weird. I remember."
But, Connor used to sleepwalk like that.
All right. So
I have stories about him.
This next and final one. If you have a hard time winking when you're taking pictures, here's some good advice.
So this is for anyone who has a hard time winking or looking good when they wink. If you go to pano in your phone and blink and move your phone at the right time, then you get really beautiful pictures of your winking. They look really natural, really effortless. I tested it a few times and the result. So this is for anyone who has a hard time winking or looking good when they wink.
If you go
to pano in your phone and blink and move your phone at the right time, then you get really beautiful pictures of your winking. They look really natural, really effortless. I tested it a few times the results. So this
great,
is for
great,
anyone.
Great results, right? All right, folks. We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you all for joining us on this episode of The Salty Show. Find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and episode 3 on YouTube now. Give us a follow, hit that like button, and subscribe and share some of the content. We will catch you all next time. Adios.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Putting a lid on it.
And that's that.